Our reading of God's law today is from 1 John 3, reading verses 7 through 9. 1 John 3, 7 through 9. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, referring to Christ. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Please be seated. This passage of Scripture begins with the words, "Let no one deceive you." And those words are written to grab your attention. They were written to alert us that what follows is an important matter that many people are deceived about, many people have been misled about. In fact, this phrase, "let no one deceive you," is actually a command. The verb in this phrase is in the imperative mood, which means the Holy Spirit communicating through the pen of the Apostle John is literally commanding us as readers not to be deceived. And what is he commanding us not to be deceived about? The incarnation of the Son of God. And more specifically, how the incarnation of Jesus Christ destroys the work of the devil. What I want you to notice is that John is making the same point here that Jesus made in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:16. Jesus said that you and I can discern people's internal spiritual condition by the fruit that they bear in their lives. Jesus said, you don't harvest grapes from a thorn bush, and you don't gather figs from thistles. No, if there are thistles on a plant, then we conclude that it's a thistle plant. And if there are figs on a tree, then we conclude that it is a fig tree. Even so, Jesus goes on to say, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And this was spoken by Jesus, not as a lesson in horticulture, but a lesson for discerning the spiritual condition of people's hearts. You will know them by their fruits, Jesus said. Well, John is saying the same thing in our reading of God's law this morning, only John puts it a little more bluntly. Whereas Jesus used a simile of figs and thorns and grapes and thistles, John states the point more plainly. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, and he who sins is of the devil. And the grammatical structure of the Greek tells us that John is describing habitual patterns of righteousness and sin. He's not saying that if somebody does one good deed, then that proves that they're righteous. Nor is he saying if someone commits one sin, then that proves that they're of the devil. No, he's talking about habitual patterns that can be recognized in a person's life. He's saying that the habitual patterns we observe in other people's lives are reliable indicators of whether those people are saved or not. What's going on inside their heart, the spiritual condition of their heart. We can't see inside the heart, but we can certainly see the fruit that comes out. And that's what John is calling our attention to. But you say, that's not very comforting because I sin every day. I firmly believe that I'm saved by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, but I sin every day. And so does the frequency of my sin call my salvation into question? Is that what John is saying here? Well, that depends. When you recognize your sin, that you have sinned, do you repent of your sin? Repentance is the hallmark of the true believer. It's an expression of saving faith. John the Baptist and Jesus both began their preaching ministries with the message that true faith is always accompanied by genuine repentance. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus proclaimed in Mark 1:15. Unbelievers do not repent. Unbelievers sin, believers sin, but unbelievers do not repent. And because repentance is the fruit of saving faith, unbelievers cannot repent. They will not repent, which is to say, they do not cry out to God for forgiveness. They might say something to you. They might tell you that they're sorry. They might try to pacify something that they did with some expression of how they wish they didn't do the thing that hurt you, or they wish they didn't do the thing that offended you. But they do not, unbelievers do not acknowledge their offense before the Lord. They don't cry out, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." That's the repentance that comes from believers. Unbelievers don't call out to the Lord. And John writes in verse 8 of our reading from God's law that the purpose Jesus Christ became incarnate is to destroy the works of the devil. Then John goes on in verse 9, the next verse, to say, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." And once again, we need to recognize the grammatical structure of the Greek here tells us that John is writing about habitual patterns in a person's life. The point he's making here in verse 9 is that everyone who is born of God is being transformed by God. Everyone who is born of God is being transformed by God. That person cannot continue in unrepented sin because God has justified that person and is sanctifying that person so that they increasingly bear good fruit. So, dear friends, I want to challenge you this morning to assess the habitual patterns of your life. Where you see sin in your life, do you also see repentance? Are you crying out to the Lord to have mercy upon you and to blot out your transgressions? Do you see patterns of righteousness developing in your life? Do you see sin increasingly being mortified, being put to death? Are the sins that you're struggling with today different sins than you were struggling with a year ago or 5 years ago? Because those sins have been put to death. Those sins have been put out of your life. And while they may attempt to come back in the form of temptation, the grace of God, God's grace has given you victory over those sins. Now you're dealing with new sins. You're continually progressing in your sanctification and your maturity of faith. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, we read in verse 9. And how we're to understand this is that whoever's been born of God does not continue in sin, but repents of his sin, turns away, forsakes his sin, mortifies his sin by the grace of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us call out to the God of our salvation to be merciful to us and to blot out our transgressions.